What?
What's going on?
Oh.
Are you home?
Yeah, I'm home.
Did you rush home from the Batman screening?
Yeah, dude, I did.
That is really funny. So you're sitting in line waiting for Batman, tethered to your iPad, writing stories for Cult of Mac while waiting for the Batman movie to begin in 7 hours.
Yeah.
Hello and welcome to the Cultcast, the best 30-minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. My name is Arifon Elijah. I have with me my dear friend Buster Heine. Hi, Buster.
I'm eating enchiladas.
Olé. And we've got a new guy. Well, not new to me, but new to you. His name's Roberto Hoyos. Hey, Roberto.
How's it going? Hey, how's it going?
We got some cross-pollination going here. Roberto and I are actually on another podcast together that we do called User Friendly.
Oh, that's a secret podcast.
it's our secret podcast, a secret video podcast where we just talk about our favorite stuff on the web. So we do that show together, and Roberto is also the founder of a cool little geeky throw pillow company you've probably heard of called Throw Boy. You guys make those cool finder pillows, right, Roberto?
Yeah, we do. We make the ones that, like, the whole Mac dock, so like the finder and dashboard and a bunch of other icon pillows, plus other geeky tech-themed throw pillows.
Which I love. Actually, I have one sitting on my desk right in front of me. Little finder smiling at me. And, oh, he's covered in a dead fly. Let's get rid of this guy. Let me just say before we start, do you know how hard it is to put together a show on the day that Batman is in the movie theaters for the first time? So the last Batman movie is out in movie theaters. Buster, you just rushed home to be on the podcast where you were waiting in line.
Oh, geez.
To see the movie, yeah. Right? And it doesn't even start. What time did you get there this morning?
So we're doing a marathon thing where they're playing Batman Begins at 6. Then I think The Dark Knight at 9.
Oh, okay.
So me and my friend, like, we had another friend. He started at 6, and then me and my friend, she and I got there at, like, 8:30.
Mm-hmm.
And we waited till, I was there till, like, 1. And, like, while I'm waiting in line, I'm, like, writing articles and meeting with John Brownlee and some other people on the site about some stuff we're doing. And then I sped home to make Arifon happy.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And you are not the only person who didn't want to be on the show today because of Batman. So, but you are the only person who left the line to come home and be on the show. So thank you.
That's how much I love you.
And the show. Well, hey, I love you too. Let's get into some Apple news. I want to talk about something that I thought was hilarious. Everyone knows Apple's quirky co-founder, Steve Wozniak. He's on way more news shows than you would think he would want to be on. He's on all this different stuff as like an expert on technology. Oh. Even though I don't really know how involved in tech he is these days.
You know, it's really easy to get a hold of.
I think he's got a lot of free time. Yeah.
I think I have his email address in my address book because of Leander or something.
Oh, really? Yeah. Yeah. He's a super nice guy. I mean, so he probably just says yes to a lot of stuff because people like him, you know, and he's obviously.
Plus he's bored and not doing anything.
That's right. He's just waiting to be on your news show. Just contact him. He'll be on. Well, I forget which website it was, but we reported about his gear bag. It was Gizmodo. Thank you. And I was looking at the equipment that he had in his bag, and I just could not stop laughing. I mean, this just seems like typical Wozniak. So he was talking about the stuff he travels around with all the time, and there's a picture Gizmodo took of it all laid out on a table. And he's got, like, several iPhones, several Android devices, several iPads. He's got Bluetooth keyboards, his MacBook Pro, of course, an assortment of chargers for his different phones. He's got chargers for his computers. He's got binoculars, earplugs, eye drops, pencils, papers, puzzles, itineraries.
He said it weighed 50 pounds.
He said it weighed 50 pounds. And I was just looking at this thing, and I was like, wow. This is what happens when a nerd has too much money.
Dude, he goes through airport security with that, too.
Yes, like, he does. And he said sometimes it took the, you know, it takes the TSA like 20, 30 minutes
or something like that
to unpack his bag.
Yeah, under x-ray, that just must look like a giant bomb.
Yeah. he has never gotten through the airport security without a body cavity search. They take one look at his bag full of wires and gadgets, and they're like, all right, get the gloves.
But he's like that, dude. He likes that sort of attention. You know, he likes to prank people that, you know, like he has a business card that can cut steak or something. Like, have you heard of that? Really?
No.
Yeah. He has like his business card is made out of metal so that he can be able to cut steak with it. That's what he says.
That is, yeah, I agree.
I guess when you got a couple billion, though, you can afford to do dumb things like that.
Or you've heard of the $2 bills thing that he has? Have you heard of that?
I saw that in the list, but I didn't know what it was.
So he carries around this like booklet of perforated edge $2 bills that he says are totally legal and legit, and he'll like rip you off some and give them to you. Like he does, like there's a whole interview of somebody talking about it, and he's like, "Oh yeah, I have it right here," and he like takes it out and like peels out one for him.
That is really funny.
I don't know where he got that from, but I guess he like still gets them made.
My gosh, I'm looking at this list: cigarette lighter, dual USB adapters, audio doubler cables, SD cards, toiletries, batteries of all different types, lithium and regular. He's just a rich nerd, man. If I had this much money, I wonder if this is what my bag would look like.
Oh, I'm sure it would. You know, I mean, that's the thing is Waz is just such a like a quintessential nerd, you know, just wanting to play around with all those little toys that he has.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. He carries around 8 phones. 8 phones! Oh, he's got an iPad Nano sitting there. Because apparently he doesn't have enough music in all these devices. He also needs to carry around his Nano. That's too funny. Oh, hey, I almost forgot. Before we move on, I need to mention our sponsor. And a fine sponsor it is. This show is brought to you by the fine folks at Hover. The best place to buy your domain names. And it's actually the place I get all my domain names. So we're going to talk about them a little bit later in the show. But I want to thank you, Hover, for sponsoring the show. I love having sponsors with products that I actually use and love, and they're one of those sponsors. So let's move on to another fun story. I don't know if you guys caught this, but you know, we don't usually talk about patent stuff with Apple just because a lot of it's really confusing and there's always so much news about it. And I honestly just feel like a lot of it is boring. It's just really boring.
Yeah.
But recently in the UK, a judge ruled that Apple's iPad does not look like the competing Samsung tablet out there. And that was surprising to me because I thought it had been ruled that Samsung was copying Apple. And now they're saying that Samsung did not copy Apple. And in the UK, the judge ruled that Apple has to put on their website, a disclaimer that says Samsung did not copy Apple. And then they also have to advertise in like local media, like magazines and stuff and newspapers,
what?
Notifying the public that Samsung did not copy Apple. Roberto, what do you guys think about that?
That's like the weirdest punishment. I never heard anything like that. You know, it's like your dad getting mad at you and telling you have to go back to school and tell everybody you're sorry at like a public assembly. It's, you know, that's stupid.
It especially is. It's really
Apple
strange.
Didn't really do anything, you know?
Right.
Like, oh, you accused them of stealing, so now you need to tell the whole wide world who probably didn't know about all this crap that Samsung didn't copy us.
Yeah. Roberto, what are your thoughts?
Totally. I think that like the majority of the world, like just only the geeks are the ones that are following this stuff, and only specific geeks are the ones following patents. So the fact that Apple has to like take out ads and like show people that, yeah, we did not copy, you know, Samsung, that's so weird and dumb. And I don't know. That's just really bizarre.
It is really bizarre. I should mention it's the Samsung Galaxy Tab, just to be specific. And, you know, I've seen unboxing of certain Samsung parts, and I mean, it just looks like, you know, piece for piece. Like Apple's design heavily influenced Samsung. I mean, I don't think there's any doubt about that at all. So I'm really surprised that this judge, A, ruled that wasn't true. And then also the fact that he's making them put a disclaimer on their website just seems totally bizarre to me. Like, because if you bring a lawsuit against somebody for copying your design, if you think they copied your design and you lose, it's like, okay, you lose.
Yeah.
Why would the judge make you put something on your site that says, hey, not only did we lose, but their stuff actually really is different? And
yeah.
You should, I don't think, these are my words now, and hey, maybe you should buy their stuff instead. Like, that just seems totally strange.
No.
Exactly. Since when are there that kind of consequences to protecting your patent, you know?
Right.
It seems super weird.
Although, good for Samsung, this might be the only way they're going to sell any of those things.
Oh, great advertising.
People will be like, oh, Apple released a Galaxy tablet? Cool. Yeah. I'm going to get one. How did I not know Apple released a new tablet called the Galaxy?
I hope their ad is just like, we did, like, Samsung, we didn't copy you, and then dot, seriously, which is like their old IBM ad.
They should make it like really snarky, but yeah, like really a really snarky, like cool designed Apple ad, you know?
Yep. I'm sure that's what they'll do.
I hope they do. I hope they do something exactly like that, just to kind of like, you know, kind of go along with the judgment as minimally as possible.
Just take another jab at them.
Right. Well, they're obviously appealing it, because Apple doesn't want to put a Samsung ad on their homepage and advertise for them. So this will play out in courts. But if it does happen, actually, now that I think about it, it could be kind of cool. It would definitely be fun to talk about. I would take a screenshot of that page for sure. Hey, let's talk about 3G and FaceTime over 3G. I've gotten several tweets from listeners today and yesterday about this. And it's been kind of, as you may know, AT&T and Verizon and Sprint are going to allow you to churn on, or allow you to use FaceTime over the cellular network come iOS 6, which I think just had its third beta released, right, Buster? Is that correct? Do you know?
Yep.
And so it's going to be out really soon. Within months, and everyone's starting to ask, hey, you know, like, is this going to be something that I use? Is it going to cost data, or is it just going to be a feature that I can use and not have to worry about eating through my data plan? And AT&T, their CEO said, oh, well, hey, it's too early to talk about that. And then Verizon was like, oh, hey, don't worry, guys. We're gonna have that feature, but let's not talk about that stuff yet. And Sprint just came out and said, we're not charging for it. It doesn't count against your data plan at all.
No, they said that they would be charging it separately.
Sprint did?
No, AT&T and Verizon did.
Did they actually come out and say that? Because the last I read that they said they just weren't mentioning price at all.
Well, you're saying that it's not going to use your data. It would. That's what people wanted, was FaceTime
to be using. Right. It was just going to be a feature of your iPhone, right?
What?
It was just going to be another feature of your iPhone, but it wasn't going to use data like using the internet or something.
It does use data.
I know. But that's kind of what people were hoping, is that it wasn't going to use data, right?
No, people were hoping that it would just use your data plan. But AT&T, like, you know when you tether with your iPhone? Mm-hmm, like, that's separate. You have to pay to be able to tether.
No. That is not what they're trying to do.
No, that is what they're doing. They're going to make it a separate fee. So if you want to be able to use FaceTime, you're going to have to pay for it.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's really strange. That's just going to kill off the like the dead shell that is FaceTime already. Like, people don't even use it now.
Well, that's I use it. But I use it over Wi-Fi. I use it over Wi-Fi, obviously, because that's the only way you can use it. Yeah, but I was really looking forward to using it over 3G.
I
feel like nobody really uses it that often, you know, other than Airfan with his mom.
And so actually, that's exactly how I use it.
I know.
But Airfan, you use it because it's just a free included thing. Like, if it wasn't there, you would just open up the Skype app and use that, right?
Well, no. Here's the thing about FaceTime, is it's baked in, right? And I mean, with my mom, with grandmas, with people who are maybe not as computer literate or as computer savvy as us three dudes, you know, it's really easy because my mom can go into her contacts list and call me. And my mom doesn't even have a cell phone. She calls me on her iPad.
Mm-hmm.
And I never thought in a million years that I would be able to do this with my mother. And imagine if I had to teach her how to use Skype instead. Mm-hmm. You know, right. It just adds an extra element of complexity. Not to mention, she can't call me via Skype unless I have Skype open. With FaceTime, she can call me regardless, and it rings, and I can answer or not. So that's really bogus. Mm-hmm. You know,
yeah, because I wonder how often your mom, what if she's accidentally not on her Wi-Fi and all of a sudden she's like racking up this 3G cost or whatever, you know?
Right. Well, I mean, my mom's iPad is only Wi-Fi, so she wouldn't be able to do that. But let's say she did have a data plan on her iPhone, like she wouldn't know, you know, like the difference between, she doesn't understand, you know, very well the difference between cellular data and Wi-Fi data. Like to her, it's all the same thing. It's like you connect to the internet, right?
Sure.
And this seems like a huge, huge digression for carriers. Like, I just feel like they just keep pinching and pinching and pinching and pinching on our data plans just to kind of squeeze more money out of us. You know? I mean,
of course.
It's ridiculous.
That's business.
It is business.
I mean, it sucks for customers, but I mean, that is business. You know, that's what it's all about is trying to screw your customers out of as much money as possible.
That is business like 101.
That's telecom business 101. That's the very first class you take. How to screw your customers out of as much money as possible.
I mean, well, AT&T, they have a commodity that they know everybody wants. And AT&T and Verizon, they pretty much refuse to compete against each other. You know, like you said, AT&T said, we're not going to talk about it yet, which meant, well, we're not sure exactly how much we're going to screw over our customers or how we're going to present it yet. So let us, you know, make it as gentle as possible and figure it out. Mm-hmm. And Verizon said pretty much the same thing. Those two are the two biggest carriers and they just refuse to compete against each other. They're just, you know, trying to milk everybody for as much money as they can. Whereas Sprint is coming out and they're like, we're a really small carrier, so we have to do stuff. Like we can't screw over customers because we actually need them. And AT&T and Verizon, they just really don't care.
Meanwhile, I'm sure for all of our European listeners, they just are laughing at this.
Yeah, they're like, this is a stupid conversation.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I've traveled extensively throughout Western Europe and Eastern Europe too, actually. And I mean, there are places in Eastern Europe who, you know, their plans are better and cheaper than ours. We're this huge country with all these customers and we get screwed. I think the only country that has it worse than us is Canada, honestly.
Oh, it's because they're Canadians, though. They deserve it.
It's because they're Canadians, who we love. We love our Canadian listeners. Okay? Yeah, it really makes me mad. I don't like being nickel and dimed. And Apple has always tried to sell devices that you know, or simple. You know, it's like, here's what you get. Everything that you use on your device works for free. You don't have to pay extra for it. Like, that'd be like charging for visual voicemail. It's like, this is exactly how the telecoms work. It's like, do you want to have this feature that downloads your messages to your device so you can look at them for only $5.99 a month? You can be using this feature per device, by the way.
Yeah.
It's outrageous. Yeah.
Pack on every feature. Oh, you want that one? That's $5. Oh, right. You want iMessage? Yeah, that's going to be $5 too. You know, they would just stack it.
Oh, if iMessage were $5, I would. It's obviously free. That's something they would charge $20 for.
Oh yeah, it's, you know,
I'm just free unlimited text messaging to any other Apple device for only $19.99. It's outrageous. And then I don't know if you guys saw, AT&T also just released their family data plans.
Yeah.
Which, lo and behold, are very, very similar to Verizon's family data plans.
The shared data plans?
Shared data plans, thank you.
Oh, my goodness. They're so bad.
And they're so bad. They're so expensive. I mean, it's like they charge you, I think it was $45 per device
mm-hmm.
for the shared data plan for a 1 gigabyte plan. And that's not including the price for the data.
Yeah. I mean, if I can, when the iPhone 5 comes out, if I can buy it carrier unlocked, then I'm seriously going to look into going to, what is it, Virgin?
Virgin and then Cricket, I think, was also doing it.
Yeah, I don't know how their 4G speeds will be, but honestly, it'd probably be worth the sacrifice.
Well, I mean, honestly, I'm kind of there with you at this point. Like, Like, I've never been so inconvenienced. Well, I should say, I haven't been this inconvenienced by a carrier in a long time, because this is how carriers used to operate, right? Remember when, if you wanted a ringtone, you had to buy it from them.
Yep.
You know, yeah. And they locked down the phone so badly that there was just even native features that were built into the phone by like Motorola, let's say. Yeah. They would lock them out, so you couldn't use them unless you paid for them.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's the same thing that happens on Android too. You know, Verizon, they didn't want to do the NFC wallet with the new ice cream sandwich phone, so they just locked that feature out.
It really makes me mad, and it makes me mad enough to actually consider prepaid, like you, Buster. I mean, just buying your phone outright, it would be expensive.
Yep.
I think my iPhone 4S is a 32 gigabyte phone, so I think what is that, like $700?
Yeah,
that's a lot of money to pay up front. That's like a MacBook Air.
Yeah, I know it's expensive, but you save more over 2 years. I can't remember. John Brownlee did all the math for.
I know. I saw that it was insanely.
It's like $1,500 a month. Yeah, or $1,500 for the 2 years that you would save, which makes up for the cost of the phone alone and more than that. You know,
absolutely.
So,
plus, those plans are like unlimited. Basically, I mean, it's unlimited everything.
Well, it's unlimited. I mean, yeah, they start, what is that? They start throttling you down once you've passed 2 gigabytes. But, I mean, I would take getting some throttle action after 2 gigabytes for $50 rather than pay, you know, $120 for AT&T shared data.
Right. I mean, I have AT&T's unlimited plan. I'm grandfathered in.
Yep.
And, I get throttled at 3 gigabytes anyway.
Oh, I get, like, I used to not get them, and then 2 months ago, I've started getting it consistently, because I still go over, like, to 5 gigs or something like that every month, because there's 3 of us on the same unlimited plan, but I never got throttled, and now I've started to get throttled every month.
What are the text messages plans like on those, on, like, the Virgin one?
They're unlimited, free and unlimited.
Unlimited data call and...
Yeah, it's like all-you-can-eat package for, like, you know, 20% less than what AT&T charges.
Yep.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it really is. It's a really big difference. The whole data thing always just makes me mad because, you know, we're in a world where our data usage is obviously going up. It's like we're using Netflix, we're renting movies from iTunes, we're downloading stuff from the internet all the time. It's like, and then so our carriers, you know, are just like, oh, cha-ching. They're able to just, I don't know if they're colluding or not, but it seems awfully strange that their prices and packages are always so similar to one another.
Yeah.
But, I mean, the fact that their data plans are going backwards. It's like we're going backwards in time. It's like you're going to get less for your money now.
Right.
But they're going to make more.
Apple keeps trying to disrupt it, and then it just like they add a little more. They push back a little more, you know?
Yes, exactly. And now that Steve Jobs is gone, I wonder if maybe Tim Cook, I wonder if he's just too much of a nice guy.
Yeah, that's what I wonder.
Like, hey, guys, that's cool.
Yeah. I don't know if he's got that negotiative power that Jobs had, where he could just walk into a room and be a total a-hole and people have to deal with it. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because like even like the first iPhone, I remember being like, whoa, you can take it home with you and you can plug it into your computer and then you can set it up. Like that was a total change, you know?
Yeah.
Because it used to be you had to sit there with the dude at the whatever kiosk and like he'd have to set it up for you.
Right, right.
So, yeah, it's changed.
It's changed a lot. It really chaps my hind end.
One last thing that actually pisses me off still is when you call somebody and they have that automated voicemail thing before their actual voicemail. And that's just another thing that the carriers do to keep you on for like using up your minutes.
Wait. What thing? I don't even know if I know what you're talking
about.
So
like if I called you and it's like, you have reached blah, 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 like 555, blah, blah, blah.
Really
and
message.
Yeah. And it's like, press 1 if you'd like to leave a message. Press 2 if you'd like to, you know, like some phones still have that. My dad's phone totally still has that. And it's just a way for them to just rack up minutes on your account.
Hello. Welcome to Airfon's phone.
Yeah.
If you would like to leave a message, please press 11670272. Like, wait, what? To repeat that, press 1.
En español.
En español. Oh, at least we can joke about it as we're being screwed. Hey, you know what's not funny?
Mm.
Having a crappy place to buy your domain names. That chaps my hide too.
Brings tears to my eyes.
You know, let's talk about domain names. We all own domain names, right? I own multiple domain names. Buster, do you own any domain names? Do you own BusterIsSexy.com?
I own BusterIsSexy.com. That's what I thought. .biz and a couple others.
.biz is my favorite.
Yeah.
BusterIsSexy. Well, let's say you needed a new domain name. You wanted to register BusterIsVerySexy.biz because you decide that's more true than the domain name you already have, and it is true. You got several options on the internet. You go to one of the more popular places and, you know, go through the most terrible menu system and buying experience possible, or you could go to the fine folks at Hover. Now, Roberto actually is the one that turned me on to Hover many months ago, and their simple, easy-to-use website, their beautiful interface, their customer service, and their free private domain registration really, really got me excited. I was like, wow, this website is great. I've never used a website for domains that was so easy to navigate, so easy to use. When you call their customer service, you get connected to a human right away. Mm-hmm. They're really willing to help you. And they make the whole domain buying experience really delightful. They're like the Apple of the domain world. You know, they're not just trying to take your money. They're not trying to upsell you at every churn. They only have several domain packages that you can purchase. And if you need any help, they're always there to help you. They are my favorite place on the web to buy domains. And Buster, if you were trying to buy, you know, BusterIsReallySexy.biz, I would recommend that you go there. Roberto, you've had a good experience with Hover too, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I heard about it, I don't know, a year ago. And then I think I had a notification from the other guys with the chicks in their website saying, hey, your thing's going to expire. So I was like, all right, I'll call him. I call him and I get right through, and the guy is like on the line with me for literally an hour teaching me how to go over, like how to switch over. And it's so difficult, like, to actually switch over your domain. They have like all this stuff. He's like, oh yeah, they don't actually give you that password, so you have to go in here and get that password, because they really try to lock you into the other site. And and it's crazy because he knew exactly what I was seeing on my screen just because he's done it so much that he was just like walking me through each step. And transfer all my stuff over there. And yeah, they're awesome. I've been using them for a couple of years now.
So I would highly recommend Hover. If you want to buy some domain names there, you can save 10% off your order. Go to hover.com/cultcast. And you'll save 10% off your order. So not only are you going to save a bit of money, but you're going to get a really, really high quality domain name registrar that we actually use ourselves. So give him a try. Check it out. Let me know what you think on Twitter. hover.com/cultcast. Hey, I want to have an interesting conversation. We had that SSD conversation. What was it, last week, Buster?
Yeah.
And I've gotten a ton of interaction about that. People were asking me, you know, if they should upgrade their MacBook Pros, or if they should just buy a MacBook Air, or, you know, how much of a difference it actually makes. And then I just had a lot of people ask me, well, what are the differences between a MacBook Pro and a MacBook Air? You know, should I get one or the other? So I thought we could have a quick conversation about this, because I actually discovered it is kind of confusing, because the 13-inch MacBook Pro, when they upgraded it, it used to be a MacBook. And then they, you know, gave it a faster processor and made it aluminum, and now they call it a MacBook Pro, but it actually isn't that different from the MacBook Air. So, Buster, you have a MacBook Air, right? And you kind of use it for like light internet use, that type of thing.
What light internet use? Dude?
Yeah, you write some articles.
Dude, I've created videos out off of that bad boy, man.
Oh, you have?
Oh yeah,
in iMovie. MacBook
Air is awesome. Yeah.
Wow.
Not Final Cut Pro 10 or whatever.
Interesting. And you haven't found it to be sluggish in any way?
No, man. MacBook Air is the most amazing computer you will ever own, Airphone.
Period.
Period.com.
Well, I mean, I never really got a MacBook Air because here's the main differences between the machines. So the 13-inch MacBook Pro does not have a discrete graphics card. Okay. So if you are kind of debating between a 13-inch MacBook Air and a 13-inch MacBook Pro, I would say go with the MacBook Air because the MacBook Air has the faster SSD drive, which is smaller, but it is a lot faster. So, you know, editing videos will be quicker. You know, loading applications is going to be a world faster. I would kind of skip the 13-inch MacBook Pro. In fact, I would... Roberto, you have a 13-inch MacBook Pro, right?
Yeah.
But you got it with the SSD.
Yeah. I got the one right before they refreshed it, and I got a 128 SSD, and then I took out the optical drive and put in a 500 gig mechanical drive.
Gotcha. So if you're gonna do a 13-inch MacBook Pro, that would be what I recommend because that way you get the SSD speed, but you still have the faster processor because the MacBook Pro processors are higher voltage and usually faster than the ones they put in the MacBook Airs because the MacBook Airs need to have, you know, great battery life and their batteries are smaller. So if you're gonna be doing a lot of video and a lot of photo editing, regardless of well, I know, Buster, you said you've made videos on it and it works fine, and I think that's probably true, but if you're going to be doing a lot of heavy video processing, if you're going to be doing a lot of photo editing, like I'm using Lightroom all the time, I think it's probably better to go with a MacBook Pro, even the 15-inch model in those circumstances, because you could put a SSD in a 15-inch MacBook Pro. It's going to make it a lot faster, not quite as fast as a MacBook Air as far as booting applications and that type of thing, but it does make it close. But then you also get the discrete graphics card, and that's really the main difference between the 15-inch MacBook Pro and the 13-inch MacBook Pros and then the MacBook Airs, is you get this graphics card that is kind of a powerhouse, and it's going to make editing in Photoshop faster, it's going to make editing in Lightroom faster, it's going to make editing videos faster. So that would kind of be my suggestion. And actually, I'm on the verge of installing my internal extra hard drive, just like you did, Roberto. You used a little bracket, right, to take out your DVD drive?
Yeah, it's called the OWC Data Doubler.
Yes.
It's not that hard. I totally recommend you doing it. It takes about, 20 minutes. I just watched the video on YouTube and just followed along. It's not hard at all.
So that's the same one I'm going to be using. I'm using the Data Doubler because I've bought stuff from OWC before. They're not a sponsor of the show, by the way, unless they want to be. Give me a call, OWC. but their products are good. You know, I've generally had good experiences with their products, and they are generally a little more expensive, to be honest. But the other option that I was considering was the OptiBay. And if you Google, anything about how to do like this hard drive replacement with an SSD, you're going to find the OptiBay. It's one of the more popular options. But I've read that some people have had problems with the OptiBay, like it hasn't quite fit into their machine properly. And it is like $5 to $10 less expensive. But I was like, you know what? Screw that. You don't want to freaking buy a bracket that you're not quite sure is going to work, especially after you've taken your MacBook apart.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like you want it to work.
Everywhere.
Yeah, exactly. And you're like, why doesn't this thing fit in there? And that was only a small subset of customers. A lot of people are really happy with the OptiBay, I should say. But I chose the Data Doubler. So I'm gonna be taking out my tools this weekend, I think, and reinstalling the hard drive I took out of my MacBook Pro.
Yeah, it's gonna be really nice. It's nice to just have that when I do video editing, just offload it to that, you know, and free up the SSD for speed.
Right. And for anyone that edits a lot, you know, applications like Photoshop, like Lightroom, they use something called a scratch disk, and they'll use whatever hard drive you have in your computer. And basically what that does is they'll write things to the disk to save up on memory while you're doing things. Mm-hmm. And so if you can move that storage to another drive, especially in internal drive, it actually makes those applications faster because now you're not reading and writing from the same disk all the time. So you have your SSD just doing one thing, and then all that data that Photoshop is kind of like needing to use but not putting in memory, it's offloading to that hard drive, and it makes it much snappier. So
another really cool thing about having two drives, I was worried that I had to figure out how I was going to back up both drives. Like, okay, do I have to back up one manually now since it doesn't have an OS on it, or what I have to do? And when I plugged in Time Machine, it treats it as one large volume. So it's like, oh, you have 700 blah, blah, blah gigs, and it just backs that up.
That's really interesting that it didn't see two separate hard drives there.
Yeah. Huh. It didn't tell you, it didn't ask like, okay, you want to back up this one and this one? It just treats it as one.
And that's really cool, obviously, because backing stuff up on that drive is really important. If you're not backing up, by the way, you are insane in the membrane. You need to be doing that. My gosh. Cool. Well, so that's our answer about that. Ping me on Twitter if you have any questions, and I can answer any of your other questions regarding the SSD stuff. I know it can be kind of confusing for people. There's a lot of SSDs out there. But hopefully now you know whether or not you should be upgrading your MacBook Pro to kind of give it some new life, or just moving on to a new computer in general. Let's wrap up with one of my favorite segments. Raves and faves and raves and faves and raves.
I thought you hated faves and raves.
I do. No, I love the segment. I'm not fond of the name. So I thought maybe if I sang it, it would... make it a little bit more pleasant. Did it work?
Nope.
No. Okay. Well.
Tweet at Airfon what the new name of Faves and Raves should be.
Yes. Thank you. don't recommend Pick of the Week.
Pick of the Week?
No. We are not calling it Pick of the Week. So, well, let me describe to you what our currently named segment, Raves and Faves, or Faves and Raves, is called. So this is the segment where we pitch our favorite new app, piece of hardware that we're using in the world of Apple. We pitch it to each other, and then we vote on which one's best. You cannot vote for your own. You have to vote for somebody else's. We always have a tiebreaker vote. Roberto, I'll give that to you since you're the new guy.
Cool.
And I think it's going to be a good one. I have a very cool app that I think is pretty awesome. Buster, your bizarre pick is just going to be outrageous, but I bet you everyone's going to choose it. Roberto, why don't you start? Why don't you tell us what your app is?
Okay. So I have an iPhone app that I think is relatively new. It's called Yard Sale. Mm-hmm. And this came out, I think it might have been out for a little while, but I think it was like a beta private thing. But basically what it allows you to do is quickly and easily post things to Craigslist to sell on, you know, to sell basically. So and it's really simple. Like it has a really simple user interface. You take a photo of, you know, whatever you're selling. Say you're selling your mouse. You take a photo of that. And then the next screen tells you, okay, write a description. So you just type that in really quick. Then one more button, and then it's posted. And if you don't have a Craigslist account, it will automatically just create one, like a dummy account that it posts to. And then it also cross-posts to the app itself, which is its own little ecosystem of people that just use the Yard Sale app. Mm-hmm. And I was really impressed by like how quick it was, because I'm usually just like, oh man, okay, I have to, you know, take out my iPhone, then I have to take some photos, then I have to load that into my computer, or hopefully it went into PhotoStream and I can put them on Craigslist, you know. So it's usually like a longer step process, and this is just kind of like a quick and dirty way to be able to get rid of junk that you don't want. And it uses your geolocation, so it will automatically post in the area that you're at, which is kind of like the killer feature of it. And yeah, so far I've been having some good luck with it. You can also, what do you call it? People can also just kind of like offer you a different amount of money like through the app, so you don't have to like mess with email and everything like that, which is kind of cool. So yeah, I like it. It's called Yard Sale.
Okay. I'm going to pitch mine. Mine's an app too, and it's one that was recently released. It's a weather app. It's actually called Weather, but it's spelled WTHR, very Web 2.0-y. And it's just a very simple, beautiful weather app. You boot it up. There's only one screen. You have one option. You can choose Fahrenheit or you can choose Celsius. But it is one of the most beautiful apps I've ever used. It's really well designed. And it's just really simple. And I'm always looking to see what the weather is outside because I don't like looking out my window. I'm kind of like really lazy in that way. And I have noticed it has some bugs. It had a GPS bug recently where it wouldn't, your GPS on your phone wouldn't turn off without resetting it. And it got lots of bad reviews for that. But that's been fixed. So now it works fine. The weather seems to be somewhat accurate. The 5-day forecast sometimes is a little wonky. It's sometimes off. But for the most part, it's my new favorite weather app, Weather, WTHR. Buster.
All right. I have a Trump card, but I'm going to hold that for another week. Okay. seems how you guys are doing apps. I'll do one. Cool. I'll do one anyway.
App of the week. Week.
Have you know the game Kingdom Rush, right, Erfan?
Dude, do I know that game? Number one player.
Do you know the game Field Runners?
No, I don't. But I just had somebody tweet at me about this today.
Okay, so Field Runners was like the original awesome tower defense game on iOS. Like,
oh,
I think it came out in like 2008, and it's still like a way fun game to play. Mm-hmm. But they just came out with Field Runners 2, which meshes some of the aspects of Kingdom Rush with the original Field Runners.
What?
So you have a lot more dynamic ways that the bad guys come at you, and you have a lot more towers now, glue guns. Different, like it's really challenging. You don't have like armies like in Kingdom Rush. Instead, you just have like towers that will blast little clones and everything. And it's pretty much the funnest game that I've played on the iPad or iPhone this year.
What? I just found the guy, EBA for the win, FTW on Twitter, just tweeted me about this morning. And he's like, have you seen this? I had not. And Buster, you get my vote. Take it. Yeah. Take it.
Give it to me.
You take that vote. Because that sounds amazing. I don't know if you guys know this. I love tower defense games. I love them. So you get my vote. Buster, who do you vote for?
Let's see. You had weather. Yeah. I like Roberto's, but the only problem with it is I live in Phoenix and people just don't catch on to apps like that quick. But that's my pick. I just wish more people used it. Because it's a really simple app.
The nice thing is that it cross posts to Craigslist, so even if people are not using it, it's still out there. Yeah,
yeah, it does make posting to Craigslist really easy. That's true.
Yeah,
Roberto.
Oh, let's see. How much is your app, Buster?
$1.
Yeah, I would choose your app because
my app's only $1 too. So choose.
If I'm gonna pay 99 cents for something I already have on my phone, I have a better calculator and it's $2.
Well, this has been Roberto's first and last time on the Cult Cast. We'll see you guys next time. Whatever, Buster, you win. I'm glad you won though, because I voted for it too. So that makes me and you a winner.
Right? But it's okay.
Okay.
You can share in my glory.
Well, I never win anymore, so I might have to do that. I am going to download that app. You said it's called Field Runners 2, right?
Yeah.
I'm going to download that right after we're done. I'm downloading it.
All right.
I'm going to check it out. But hey, that's it, guys. That's all the time we have for this week. I know for all you guys who always make fun of us for going 60 minutes, we win this round, even though I think we went 40. the conversation continues on Twitter. I am at Erfon, E-R-F-O-N. Roberto, you're Roberto Hoyos, right? I'm saying that phonetically so people can find it.
Yes, R-O-B-E-R-T-O-H-O-Y-O-S.
But go ahead and spell it anyway. And Buster's B-S-T-3-R. And hey, we have a brand new Facebook page. If you want to interact with us on Facebook, let us know show topics, guests you want us to have on. We're having a good time on our Facebook page. It's facebook.com/ The Cult Cast. Make sure you put that "the" in there. You're going to be taken to some really weird site. And thanks for being on, Roberto. I want to thank Hover for sponsoring the show. The Cult Cast is the best 30-minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. New episodes come out every Thursday night. Thanks for listening. We will catch you guys
next time.
That's way to sync up with me there.
Did we hit that the same
time? I think we did, yeah.
Man, that was meant to be.
We've been doing this too long.
Hover Round.
our sponsor today is Hover, makers of the finest scooter that you'll ever ride through the Grand Canyon.
What? Oh, yeah. Isn't that is that called Hover?
Was it called?
It's the Hover Round.
It's the Hover Round.
Oh, okay.
Hover Round, Round, Round.
Oh, yeah.
Remember, because she's at the Grand Canyon? Well, they don't show you is how many elderly people got stranded at the bottom of the of the crevasse when their battery died. There's probably a whole slew of dead bodies down there.
They're getting pulled back by mule.
All right, let's start the show.